Welcome to D&B College. Today we're building a sub plus an e workflow in Ableton Live 12 for jungle and old school D&B vibes. If you've ever struggled to make the low end hit hard without turning into a muddy mess, this lesson is going to give you a clean way in. The idea is simple. You split your bass into two jobs. The sub carries the weight. The e carries the character, the movement, and the attitude. That separation is one of the biggest reasons classic D&B low end feels so powerful. The bass sounds huge, but it still leaves room for the break, the kick, and the snare to do their thing. And that is really the heart of this workflow. In D&B, the bass is not just a musical layer. It's part of the drum arrangement. If the bass line sounds amazing in solo but makes the groove smaller, it's not finished yet. We want it to feel locked, disciplined, and intentional. So let's start in Ableton with one MIDI track and one instrument rack. You do not need drum rack here. Keep it simple. Make two chains inside the rack, name one SUB and the other INE. That alone helps you think like a producer instead of just a sound designer. On the sub chain, use something clean like operator with a sine wave. Keep it boring on purpose. That's not a weakness. That's the job. Set the envelope so the notes start quickly and stop cleanly. A fast attack, a short release, and no extra stereo processing. If you need EQ, only use it to remove junk or tame a pokey area. The sub should feel like a spine under the track. What to listen for here is stability. Play a short one-bar loop. The sub should feel steady, physical, and focused. If it sounds buzzy, wide, or blurry, you're already moving away from the classic D&B low end. Keep it pure. Now build the INE layer. This is where the personality lives. You can use Waveeatable or another operator instance, but this time give yourself more harmonic content. A saw, a slightly detuned sound, or a rougher Waveeatable can all work. Then high pass it so it stays above the sub zone. A good starting point is somewhere around 90 to 140 Hz, depending on the patch. After that, add a little saturator, maybe 2 to 6 dB of drive, and finish with filtering and EQ if needed. Why this works in D&B is because the ear needs a way to follow the bass on smaller speakers, but the actual weight still needs to stay anchored in the sub. The INE gives you the readable part of the bass line, without stealing the foundation. That separation is what keeps the drop clear even when the break is busy. When you're shaping the INE, ask yourself one simple question. Does this layer add rhythm and attitude, or does it just make the sound louder? You want movement, not clutter. If it disappears completely, add a bit more drive or a brighter waveform. If it starts fighting the kick, high pass it harder and clean up the low mids around 200 to 400 Hz. Now here's a useful decision point. You can go for a cleaner roll or a rougher Reese flavor. A cleaner roll is great if you want that dubby, classic, old-school feel. Keep the wave simple, keep the saturation moderate, and let the bass breathe. A rougher Reese is better if you want more menace. Use detune. Push the drive a bit harder, and let the top layer get gnarly. Just remember, the sub stays the foundation either way. What to listen for now is balance. If you mute the sub and the INE suddenly sounds like the whole bass line, the INE is probably too low or too heavy. It should be useful, not foundational. The sub is the anchor. The INE is the voice. Next, make both layers play like one instrument. This is where a lot of beginner basses fall apart. The note lengths need to match. The sub should not ring out longer than the INE. The INE should not leave stray tails after the note ends. Tight MIDI control matters a lot in jungle and old school D&B, because the groove depends on space as much as it depends on note choice. Try a simple pattern in a minor key. Keep it small. One root note, one short syncopated hit, one rest, maybe one pickup into the next bar. That's enough to start. You are not trying to write the whole bass line of the century. You are building the system. A good D&B phrasing idea is a short call and response. For example, a note on beat 1, another small hit later in the bar, then a rest before the snare area, then a pickup into the next phrase. That creates tension naturally. And in this style, tension often comes more from what you leave out than what you put in. Now bring in your drums early. Do not wait until the bass is finished. Put it against a kick, a snare, and your breakbeat. This is the real test. A bass sound that works in isolation can still wreck the groove when the drums arrive. What to listen for here is very specific. Does the bass leave enough room for the snare crack? Does the kick still punch through the sub? Does the break keep its swing? Or does the bass flatten it? If the kick gets swallowed, shorten the sub notes or trim the level a little. If the snare feels smaller, check whether the bass is hanging over the back half of the bar and stepping on that hit. That's one of the big truths in D&B. A great bass line is not just heavy, it's disciplined. It lets the drums breathe. Now think in phrases. Not just loops, a four-bar bass phrase usually feels much more musical than a one-bar idea that repeats forever. You can state the motif in bars 1 and 2, add a small variation or pickup in bar 3, and then strip it back or add a tiny fill in bar 4. That gives the track shape without overcomplicating it. A great beginner habit in Ableton is to duplicate clips and make tiny edits by section. It's faster than trying to endlessly automate one loop into being interesting. Once the bass feels right, commit to it. You can even print the bass to audio if that helps you stop tweaking and start arranging. That's a big workflow win. And here's another practical tip. If the bass feels good at low volume, you're probably close. Classic D&B low end should still tell the story even when it's turned down. The sub should hold the weight. The NE should become the readability cue. If you can only hear the groove when it's loud, the design still needs work. Now add controlled movement, not constant movement. Controlled movement, that means small automation on the NE layer, not wild sweeps all over the place. Try moving the auto filter cutoff, or the saturator drive, or even the overall level by a dB or two to emphasize a phrase. Small changes can make the track feel alive without destabilizing the low end. This works especially well around phrase boundaries. Brighten the NE a touch before a fill. Darken it slightly under a sparse break. Push it a little into the drop. The bass feels arranged, not just looped, but keep the sub automation minimal. The sub should stay consistent so the whole system stays solid. Now let's talk about mix discipline. Keep the sub mono. Always keep the NE narrow enough that the bass still translates in mono. If your bass sounds huge in stereo but weak in mono, that's a warning sign. In club music, mono compatibility is not optional. It's part of the job. Use EQ carefully. The sub should stay clean, with no extra low-mid buildup. The NE should be high-passed below the crossover and cleaned up. If it gets harsh around the upper mids, you can use light glue compression on the bass bus if it helps, but don't force it. In D&B, too much compression can flatten the groove and remove the pulse. What to listen for when you sum to mono is simple. Does the bass still carry the tune? Does the kick still land cleanly? If the answer is yes, you're building a bass system that can survive real playback. One more important idea. Stop treating this as an endless design exercise. Once the sub is stable and the NE is musically useful, freeze the decision and move on. Version it if you want. Save a clean version, a rougher version, maybe a more spacious version. In D&B, those small alternatives are often more useful than one overbuilt patch you can never finish. If the bass line is fighting the kick, don't immediately reach for more EQ. First, shorten the note endings a little. A lot of low-end problems in D&B are actually phrasing problems, not EQ problems. That one adjustment can open the whole mix. Let's tie it together with a useful mindset. Build the sub and NE separately, even if they'd live on one track. Keep the sub clean, mono, and simple. Let the NE carry the movement, grit, and character. Always check the bass with the drums, not just in solo. Use small automation moves and short phrases to create jungle and old-school momentum. And when the idea works, commit. D&B rewards decisions. For your practice, try building a four-bar bass phrase with only stock Ableton devices. Keep the sub mono. Keep the NE audible but not overpowering. Use no more than 5 or 6 MIDI notes in the main idea. Add one intentional rest before a snare or fill point. Then make one clean version and one rougher version by changing the NE chain or filter movement. If you've got time, bounce the NE to audio and trim it like a sample. Then do the 3 checks. With the drums on, does the snare still feel strong? In mono, does the bass still hold together? At low volume, can you still hear where the phrase changes? If yes to all 3, you've got a real D&B workflow, not just a nice sound. That's the lesson. Build the foundation with the sub. Add the voice with A&E. Keep the drums alive. Keep the phrase tight. And don't be afraid to lock in a good idea once it's working. Now get into the session. Build your own sub plus A&E rack, and make it move.